Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. Hello, my name is Megan Zimmerman, and I'd like to welcome you to Women on Wednesday. A few housekeeping items before we get started. Please turn off all cell phones or pages and stay seated in your seats quietly until 12:50. Also, if you could please fill out the evaluation sheet, as we do use this information for future programming. Our session today is titled Self-Care for Activists. Women are often the nurturers and caretakers of the world. How often we often forget about taking care of ourselves in the process. Remaining passionate about women's issues and social justice can be easier than retaining the energy to make it happen. Women relax, de-stress, and re-energize in various ways, including empowerment strategies, recreation time and exercise, and other health-related activities. Our panel of knowledgeable women will share their professional and personal self-care experiences so that we can all begin incorporating positive ways to take care of ourselves in order to sustain a healthy, meaningful, and engaged lives. Our presenters today include Marie Fisher. She's a community counseling graduate student and a Women's Center graduate assistant at the St. Cloud State University. She is an advisor for Women's Action for Liberation and Leadership, a feminist activist student organization, and vice president of the Community Counseling Graduate Student Association. Fisher has also volunteered at the Central Minnesota Sexual Assault Center for the past 3 years. Isophine Johnson is a nurse practitioner at SCSU Health Services. She is certified as both an adult and gynecological reproductive health nurse practitioner and has over 27 years of experience in a variety of settings, including a large urban hospital in St. Louis, Missouri, the Veterans Administration Medical Center, and the state of Minnesota. Johnson is one of the pioneers in nurse practitioner profession who graduated from Mayor Harry Medical College in Nashville, Tennessee. She is a graduate of Webster University in Webster Grove, Missouri, with a degree in nursing. Heather Smith is an elementary education major at St. Cloud State University. She is employed by Outdoor Endeavors at the Rock Climbing Wall and is currently co-leading the Women That Rock program, a unique program that offers women-only climb time every other Thursday evening. Her leisure pursuits include camping, rock climbing, and downhill skiing. One quick announcement, just a reminder that we have the Vagina Monologues this weekend, Saturday, February 13th, and Sunday, February 15th, both at 7 o'clock in the Atwood Ballroom. Also, Isophine was nice enough to bring some chocolates for in celebration of Valentine's, so if anybody has any questions or comments, you will receive a delicious piece of chocolate for that. So we are very grateful to have them here with us today. Please join the Women's Center in welcoming Marie Fisher, Isophine Johnson, and Heather Smith.
You know, it's good to kind of bribe sometimes. I just thought we would have a conversation among ourselves. And, of course, the title is Self-Care for Activists, but I think we all could use a little self-care. So when I wrote this up, I was really thinking about women, so forgive me, the guys that are in the room, I mean no harm. Women have been sold a false sense of self. We've allowed others to make us think that if we're not busy, then we're not worthy. And it's like, just give me a break. Regardless of what Alicia Keys sings, and I love her dearly, we are not all superwomen. Because all superwomen have a whole lot of people working behind the scenes for them. We, as women, can do a heck of a lot, but we can't do it all at once. Women activists are expected to be everywhere and all things to everybody and not get paid while doing it all the day before yesterday, and yet not feeling good enough. Being an activist should be fun and not feeling that you have to do it all. You also do not have to lose your identity for a cause. You can be a part of a movement without becoming the movement. And as you know, you first have to diagnose the symptoms in order to treat the problem. So what is the problem? And my question is, what has stress got to do with it? Well, stress is your body's way of responding to any kind of demand. It can be caused by both good and bad experiences. When people feel stressed by something going on around them, their bodies react by releasing chemicals into the blood. These chemicals differ based upon the type of stress situation that you're experiencing. So let's start with good stress / positive situation that gives you like a runner's like high. So your chemicals that are released are usually the endorphins, serotonins, and dopamine. And these are produced by the body, and they do wonderful things for our system. And then you have the bad stress, which is actually a stimulant we react to negatively. We become distressed. Our body's stress response to stress, fails to shut off and reset itself properly, causing problems. The body releases adrenaline and cortisol, which have been implicated in heart disease and destruction of brain cells. Bad stress can produce an extra surge of sugar, that's your liver trying to respond to the stress, dilate the blood vessels, and decrease metabolism, just to name a few. Medical conditions that are contributed to stress can include, but not limited to, heart disease, high blood pressure, strokes, colds, chronic fatigue, anxiety, panic disorder, ulcers, insomnia, depression, migraines, alcoholism, obesity, drug addiction, injuries, inability to focus and concentrate, and the list goes on. Stress is not different in activists versus a non-activist. However, there is a difference in how we manage stress as individuals. We all have to find a balance for our stress because this distress, bad stress, can jeopardize your relationship with family, friends, coworkers, your spiritual development, personal interests, job performance, general health, and fun. It can make a difference between success and failure. The key word with almost everything we do is balance. The ability to balance stress is such a fine line. Given all of the demands placed upon us and those we place upon ourselves, it's no wonder we feel distressed most of the time. Actually, we become imbalanced when we give too much time and attention to one activity while ignoring others. When we stay out of balance too long, then that's when we develop problems and complications associated with bad stress. So the million-dollar question is, how do you find balance? And I don't have a million-dollar answer. But finding that balance is really personal, and we all have different coping mechanisms. But you have to find your ideal style of coping, which must be respected. I will offer my professional and personal advice. And first, I think we all should find time every day to pause for 2 to 3 minutes. Taking time out for mindful breathing, it will calm the mind. Alternate breathing yoga pattern, such as the one I've handed out, has done wonders to help to balance stress. Mindful breathing helps to release the inner struggle. It helps you to relax, focus, and concentrate. It may also help you to find your purpose and give you fulfillment. It allows you to live in the present, forget about yesterday, and not worry about tomorrow. We all seek the magic prescription for good health and inner peace in a world that is most challenging. This country is dealing with a number of problems, as we all know, housing foreclosures, unemployment, and we're engaged in wars throughout the world. Through yoga, perhaps you can find some spiritual and physical well-being. It leads to harmony, peace of mind, long life, youthfulness, and vitality. To me, yoga is really just awesome because it works for people of all ages and all walks of life. Learning to relax and let go is a vital part of yoga practice. So I advocate taking a class, buy a book, read a video, and just check it out. Be aware of what your body is trying to tell you also. So listen carefully. Sometimes we ignore that inner voice. When you're running on empty, you can potentially endanger your relationship with family, friends, neighbor, coworkers, and etc. When you're on empty, you have nothing to give to yourself, let alone to others. You have to devote yourself to changing the things you can and change the way you think of things you cannot. Learn to say no more often. Before you answer yes to another request, give yourself time to really look at where you will have time to add another thing to your already busy to-do list. And I always say sleep on it, you know, like that commercial, let me sleep on it. Well, I sleep on everything before I try to get back and answer it because I want to see how it's going to affect me. And for heaven's sake, don't forget to sleep at least 7 to 8 hours every night. Eat less but healthier. Stay hydrated with non-caffeinated beverages because we know dehydration can lead to fatigue, headaches, depression, and you can be overall less productive. Minimize your stress by becoming a little bit self-centered and selfish, although you won't receive accolades for doing such, as this society would rather reward you for being the constant caretaker. Network with happy, healthy, and loving people. Have fun while journeying through life, and make small changes towards daily success. And I know some of these people are going to talk about the other things too, but I included exercise, finding your ideal exercise, whether it be yoga, Pilates, walking, running, swimming, reading, gardening, biking, etc. Seek medical care sooner rather than later when your coping mechanisms fail. Preventive medicine, of course, is the best medicine, and it's also the cheapest medicine. It's important that we lead rewarding lives and be positive and healthy role models. This is something that I also have a struggle with. You know, it's a universal issue. Go on and stay as active as you like, but I'm writing your prescription that you should put yourself first and front and center in whatever you do. Remember to find that inner spirit, love, and be kind to yourself. Challenge your brain to build new pathways by using your non-dominant hand, driving a different route home, learning a new language or a music instrument. Those things really help you to stay focused. Be respectful and kind to others. When they make it challenging, give them distance and alone time. And as we know, we never know what people are going through. So thank you and take care, and we'll do that alternate breathing pattern later after we've all had our say.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you to Isafine and Heather for being co-presenters on this, and Megan and the Women's Center. I know that activism and activists, it's a very broad term. It means a lot of different things for different people, and just getting involved in the issues that are important to you is important. But for me personally, I'm going to talk about kind of how self-care manifests in different ways for me. For me, it's ultimately about finding meaning in what I'm doing. I am a graduate student in the community counseling program and a graduate assistant at the Women's Center. So these choices were very conscious decisions for me to find work that is meaningful. So the rewards I get through helping others are a definite driving factor in continuing what I do and what I love to do. Some of the ways that I de-stress and get rejuvenated is by spending time with other women and friends. I work at the Women's Center, and my time with my friends is important for me because being able to talk with other people who know the issues that I am passionate about, understand what I'm going through at the time, and share similar passions, so that's a great release for me. My friends and I like to get crafty, so we like to do different projects. I also love to play board games and, of course, watch movies, something that kind of lets me escape myself and some of the issues that I have going on. And there are so many different ways to be creative and fun. We like to go through the community ed booklet and just see what new crafty things they have to offer. So it's a good, cheap way to have some fun. I also co-facilitate a women's empowerment series with Megan at the Women's Center. And this group is very motivational for myself as well as the participants. We talk about some of the pressing concerns that are facing women right now and how it is okay for women to be assertive, powerful, and discover as much about yourself as possible. And I think that for me, and I don't know if anyone here has done the What Color Is Your Personality, that's been on campus for a while, but I'm a green personality, and so taking care of others is it's a big thing in my life. So taking that time out for myself and self-discovery for myself is another passion of mine, I guess. So the more ways you can do that, the better, because I think the more you know about yourself, the more you'll be able to take care of yourself, so in positive ways. And also that series is starting next week, so a little shameless plug here. There's more information at the back table. I think we even brought the sign-up sheet, so if you're interested in that. It's a 5-session series, and we cover assertiveness, conflict resolution, body image, self-esteem, healthy relationships, and sexuality. So all very important issues for women, young women on campus, as well as community members. It's, you know, it's a work in progress. It's something that we continue throughout our lives, so if you want more information about that, check out the back table or talk to me and Megan afterwards. I also have a very supportive partner, which is very helpful, who understands when I need a night to myself or just a night out with the girls and relax with my friends. We know what is important to each other. Communication is so important with your friends, family, loved ones. to keep that communication open, and we try our best to be receptive to each other's needs. And I just think that that's an important part when you have so much going on. Along with home life, my pets are a pleasant distraction sometimes. working out is something that I have struggled to do for quite a few years, especially with the amount of excuses I can make for myself with graduate school and internship and all of that. So, but I do have a plan now, and I think what really inspired me is actually the Boxers presentation that we had the last couple weeks for Women in Sports, Women and Girls in Sports Day. So just encouraging myself to find the discipline to challenge myself, and exercise is so important. I mean, it helps you be more in tune with your body and what's going on with you. So, and I know that Heather will talk more about the pros there, but it's something that for myself, I've really encouraged myself to keep going and to follow through with my goals. It's important to maintain your energy. So, overall, I'm able to stick with the work that I do and not burn out because I make sure that the work that I'm doing, I'm passionate about. I choose student organizations to be involved with based on what the reciprocal process is. So what does that organization have to offer me, and what do I have to offer that organization? I think that it should be mutually beneficial, that you can learn things from them and also offer things to the group that, you know, that you want to work on. My involvement with Women's Action has been a great organization for me to be associated with because of the feminist projects that they do. So if I would encourage you to, if women's issues are something important to you, that it's a good, I mean, Women's Action as well as other organizations on campus, I just encourage you to get involved. The Vagina Monologues is something that we've been helping out with, and that's this weekend. So another good, fun time just to be empowered and learn about issues to stop violence against women. Finding balance, like Isophine said, is important in any work or volunteering that you do. Once you feel yourself getting stressed out about the activities you're involved in, take a step back, prioritize, and be mindful of the decisions that you're making and who you're making those decisions for. Making sure that you're doing stuff true to yourself and not just to please a professor or to please someone else, or because that you've been in that caretaking role, you know, for most of your life, that make sure that you're really examining what you're doing and why you're doing it. This is something that I have also had to learn and still struggle with, being a green personality and a caretaker. And like Isophine said, saying no, learning how to say no, being assertive and proactive for yourself. Especially in a helping profession that I'm in, it's easy to take on too many projects and constantly want to give. But maintaining balance is so important for your own sanity and health. Do what is best for you right now. Find out what you're passionate about and go after it. I know that I don't always make the best decisions for myself, and nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. And some amount of stress is good, and it helps to motivate. But if you are feeling overwhelmed, find someone to talk to. If you don't think you have a very good supportive network at home or with your friends, you know, there's free counseling and psychological services here on campus. They're a great resource. You know, I don't know of any other time that you're going to get free counseling. So take advantage of that if you really think you need it. Or just join a support group of some kind. If you know that a certain particular issue is plaguing you, there's probably a support group out there for it. So, you know, take the time to be active for yourself as well as other projects. I guess, again, just find ways to be active around the issues that are important to you. I know that's one of the ways that I really get refueled is by being with people and doing the things that I love to do and making a difference and finding meaning. So, thanks.
Can I have everyone stand up, please?
Do you want to leave
this at all?
Are we
going to
do jumping?
You'll see. All right. So, can everyone raise both hands and then bend your elbow and then raise it again? And now we're going to stand with our legs. We're going to bend our knees one at a time and put it down. And do the same with the other leg. All right, now you guys can all sit back down again. So now that I see that you can all do these skills, you have no excuse to not come down to the rock wall and come climbing. So I better see you all for Women That Rock. It's every other Thursday, and we actually have it tomorrow night from 8 to 10 down in Hollenbeck. Does anyone not know where we are located? Good. You better be there. Women That Rock is a program that was started a couple years ago, and it's just a time and a place for women to come down and try a new activity, try something new, meet new people, and just have a lot of fun. We have maybe like 10 to 12 women that come down regularly, and they say that's what they look forward to the most during the week. They know Women That Rock is coming, and they will come down. And there we can just talk about whatever, climb if you want. If you think it's too hard, it's not going to be. If you try it, you can get a little ways, and the next time you go, you can go a little further. So it's really, really fun, and I encourage you all to go. You don't have to bring anyone. You can bring your friends, bring your roommates, convince people, but you can come alone and meet new people. And that is actually how I got my job with Outdoor Endeavors, was by coming climbing. And by working with Outdoor Endeavors, I really found what I was passionate for in life. I found that I really like being active, trying new things, going camping, going rock climbing, going fishing, doing things that I never thought I would do. And I love it, absolutely love it. It's just because I've tried something new. So I encourage you all to try something new this week. No matter what it is, try something new. Walk a new way to school, walk around, I don't know, meet new people at lunch, sit with someone that's alone, talk to someone, strike up a conversation. So I'm also here to talk about exercise and why it's important to exercise. Exercising gives you more energy. You think that by exercising and be so tired for the rest of the day, but really you're giving yourself more energy, more motivation to do things. And if you think, I hate running, I don't want to do this, what am I doing here? Try group fitness class. My roommates and I go to one class maybe every other day, and it's really, really fun, and you meet a lot of people again, and the instructors have so much energy, and you're moving, you're working out without really knowing it. So it's a lot of fun. I encourage you to check out everything that campus has to offer, and I hope to see you all at Women That Rock tomorrow.
So we can kind of open it up for discussion. First of all, does anyone have any questions? And keep in mind, you'll get a piece of chocolate, so that's a bonus.
And it's good chocolate.
It's not just because I want chocolate. You guys were talking about gaining motivation to exercise and, you know, finding time to really exercise. And I really like the group fitness. Anyone I can tell, I'm like, go to group fitness. It's so great. And I will tell you the 10 different ways. And so I'm a strong advocate for those. But also they have a program, the St. Cloud on the Move. And so they give you weekly assignments right now. And, you know, they add up all your miles. So, like, you can just walk to school and these sorts of things, or garden and, you know, play Frisbee or whatever. You can add up your miles and you win prizes. And it's great. And you get a free bag. And
a big plus.
Free stuff. And, you know, if you have a hard time getting yourself motivated, I think, you know, having just incremental, like, 1 week, oh, I just need to do this project and then this. And before you know it, you have, like, the rock hard ads.
And I was going to say, too, once you get started, it's almost like an addiction.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to stop because you feel so good. So, yeah, I would advocate exercising 4 or 5 times a week, actually. And we know that it's just healthy. It's the healthy thing to do for your body and your mind. So,
yes, Jean?
From an over 30 perspective, Isabine, kind of from a health perspective, can you talk about
Many women my age are dealing with high cholesterol, breast cancer, you know, various illnesses or diseases that really are more likely to show up, you know, over 40. And then what it means for young women, what young women should be thinking about or doing in order to, again, prevent.
Right.
The prevention issues. So can you just help us make some connections?
Sure. And usually that high blood pressure, your high cholesterol, it's all related to obesity if you look around or sedentary lifestyle. So again, it goes back to and what you're eating. So you have to look at everything that you put in your mouth, and I always tell people that, you know, you add everything up other than water, because you're going to have to pay for those calories somewhere along the line. And my goal is to always is to eat frequently but smaller feedings, and to eat healthy. And once you get into that routine, you're going to help yourself. And as young people, you know, you don't want to wait until you get to 40 for someone to tell you that now you should start doing this. You should really start building those habits now, because it's easier to prevent diseases by, you know, eating healthy. And I talk about it with young people in the clinic. I always ask about their calcium intake, you know, because you don't want to get old and have the kyphosis, you know, the humpback or the brittle bones. You see that all the time. So I tell you that you want to develop and bank good, strong bone density now. So it's like putting money in the bank. You're putting this bone density in the bank for later in life. So until you're about 35, you're going to have a rapid development and growth of bone density. And you have to help it out by making sure that you're getting the calcium. And that's about 1,500 milligrams for young people and 800 units of vitamin D, which helps to absorb the calcium. So if you can do those healthy things now, that's one problem that you won't have to worry about when you get older. It's like adding money for later in retirement. So you add this bone density to prevent those kinds of complications. And the same goes for healthy lifestyle. You know, you can, I always tell people, you know, you can buy a new car, and if you don't take care of it, it's going to break down on you quicker than later. But if you take care of your body and treat it as your temple, it's to be respected. You only get to live this one life, and you're going to live in this body until you're dead. So you really should take care of it. And if you do the healthy things, the eating healthy, and exercising, and the proper hydration, because people don't realize, you know, I see a lot of people and they come in and they get this headache, they're depressed, they're this, and then I start talking to them about what they're doing and, you know, what they're eating, what they're drinking. Well, I don't like water. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, where did they come from? But it's true. I see this all the time. So it's amazing. You know, you really need to look at your lifestyle. I know you can't run and hide from your DNA, okay, because genetic plays a part with some of those diseases, Jane, that you talked about, but you certainly can fight it all the way, okay? So those are the things, and I don't know if you picked on me because I look like I'm over 30. I'm teasing. I've been practicing longer than 30.
Yes. I just want to let people know, too, that along with the women-only climb time, there is a women's-only swim time on the Eastman Pool. So that's another good kind of non-impact way to get exercise. So.
And do we know days and times of that?
I think that's on Thursday.
Yeah, I don't know the exact times, but. I would say that if you searched on the SCSC website, you probably would find it. Otherwise, contact the Women's Center and we'll figure it out. Yeah. Monica?
Is there any other volunteer opportunities coming up?
Definitely. There's always volunteer opportunities. I think right now, like, the Vagina Monologues is coming up this weekend, and we could always use an extra hand. March is Women's History Month, so we will be having a lot of different activities and presentations going on. So if you're interested in volunteering, Megan is actually the volunteer coordinator. So if you wanted to get her your name and email, that we can have, depending on your availability, if you just want to help out with a couple events a year, that's awesome. There's also ways to get involved with student organizations, like Women's Action runs
very closely with the Women's Center. We collaborate on a lot of projects together, and so if you know if the Women's Center is in a place that you're able to get hours in or to be active enough as you'd want to be, Women's Action is another way to do that. If you are looking for more hours, then actually, you know, volunteering time in the office is another option. So yeah, there's definitely things to do. So just contact us. Did you have something else you wanted to say before?
Oh, no.
Okay. Any other questions? Jane, do you have another one?
I don't want to hog
this. Okay.
Questions. And I'm not doing this for the chocolate. Heather, starting with you, and then, of course, Marie and Isaphine, you as well, I have heard from a lot of women in the past who, because they don't have the perfect body and because they don't necessarily feel athletic in the way, you know, they didn't play, high school sports, that kind of thing. Do you have recommendations or advice for women who may have some discomfort with that and, you know, are struggling with body image and we're not perfect workout bodies?
All right. One thing you can do if you're not comfortable with how you look when you're working out is take baby steps. You don't have to go in there the first day and jump on that treadmill and run 8 miles. Like, start by walking and then jogging. Just slowly get into it, get in your routine, and then make it harder and more difficult and challenging for yourself.
I would say, and of course, being that body image is one of our sessions in the Women's Empowerment Series, that the women-only times is a great way to feel less self-conscious about working out. Working out with friends is a great way to stay motivated. But also just, trying to take the steps to be comfortable with who you are, with the body that you're in, and, taking steps to exercising is just, steps closer to feeling good about yourself and positive about your body image. I would just encourage you to try, like Heather said, taking baby steps. Try something, you'll feel, start to feel how good it actually makes your body feel and your self-image. So I would just encourage you to try new things. If you get bored with something, try something else. There are a million and one ways to be active and work out. So just try something.
And, I always tell people that you, in terms of obesity, you didn't become obese overnight. So you shouldn't expect for that obesity to be resolved in 3 weeks. Okay, it takes time. And it takes the steps that they've talked about. And if you're not comfortable in a group yet, just start as an individual. You can start at home. You can start with some weights at home. You can start walking around the block a couple of times. You can park your car a little bit further. You can take the steps. Even if you only take 10 steps, at least get started. And you will start with small steps. And then you start feeling good. I mean, you don't care what people say and think. You're going to go into that class and you're going to do whatever it is that you want to do. You have to first build yourself up. And it's a mental buildup as well. You have to start feeling good about yourself. But when you start doing something, you actually do. You feel like you have energy to do whatever. So I agree with them. It's whatever it is that you can do, and you take it in small doses, and you work up.
I would also say, too, that if you aren't comfortable working out at a gym, and, sometimes you can't afford to work out at a gym, that some of the membership fees are just too much. To get a group of your friends and find space on campus, you can check out a room for a while and, start your own workout program. I have found some awesome dance workout videos through Netflix. So that's another good way if you are comfortable doing that at home, that there are a lot of resources out there to utilize. So,
any more questions about your health or exercising?
And I was sort of in that boat, I guess. I would exercise like once, and then
not do it for like another month or so. Mm-hmm. And so it was trying to find the discipline. And through the group fitness, I was able, like just this last, the last 7 week program, you know, it was something I enjoyed. One trainer, I tried a couple classes, didn't like every trainer, but I found ones that I did like, and it was like, oh, I can't wait to go see Jenna on Thursday, or mm-hmm. it was Tuesday last time, but that was like the highlight of my week. And, you know, just finding something that you find that you can do mm-hmm. and you enjoy doing, and, you know, I've lost like 10 pounds, so, but it took 7 weeks. But it is something like needing to find something that you're willing to do and get over it, because if you just do it over and over, because I'm not over 30 yet, thank God.
27.
Taking some offense to that, some over 30 crowd.
No.
But I'm not in that category yet. So, you know, it is much harder when you said if you're over 30 and want to start exercising. There was a girl in there, she was probably 19. You know, you could flick quarters off of her thighs, and she's like, I'm so out of shape. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. And she probably was.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was for uh-huh. she was.
No, she can be thin, but still out of shape. That's what people don't yeah. realize. You know, mm-hmm. it's like how did this person have a what they call heart attack in the yeah. layman's term, and they're so thin. But it has nothing to do with thin. It's about how you know, if you eat and exercise and take care of yourself, you'd be surprised at the elevated cholesterol levels we see in thin people. So that the thinness is a misnomer in terms of being healthy and thin. And you also have to look at it as doing something for life. You know, it's not just doing it this month or this year or whatever. To me, it's like breathing. You have to get up every day and do something for yourself. Even if it's 10 minutes here, 20 minutes later, it adds up. You'd be surprised. So if you can't get it all in at once, don't worry about it. Do what you can for that 10 minutes and fit it in somewhere else, but you have to put it on your schedule. You just can't make it an afterthought. It has to be a priority, and you will see results when you eat healthy and you exercise and do all the other things, and you don't feel as stressful. And you'll figure out a way how to deal with the stress when you encounter it, because you're going to all encounter stress. I do it every day. I work in stress, but you know, I work there and I come out and I feel good. So yeah.
And then one thing that I do that keeps me motivated to work out is right on my calendar, I'll write down, I'm working out from this time to this time. Mm-hmm. So it's a good tip that took me a long time to learn how to do that. So free advice for you all.
Yeah, I'd say visualization is a good step in keeping motivated. But I would also encourage you to kind of think outside the box in that don't focus on the pounds you're going to lose. Focus on how good you feel. You know, not to knock your answer, it's so easy to like go into a gym and compare yourself to other people. Yeah. But I would also encourage you to really think, what's realistic for me? Yeah. What is healthy for me? And to focus on that and have that be your goal, because like Isophine said, you know, and I've had friends who looked stick thin, still had cellulite and ate horribly. You know, a can of pop for lunch and things like that. And that's not healthy. And, you know, we get so caught up in the body image that, you know, that the Barbie doll figure is the perfect figure and that's something to achieve. But it's not realistic. It's completely deceptive. And I would challenge you to start breaking down those stereotypes, and I think you'll feel better about yourself in the process. So,
yep. They've done studies, too, to show that thinner, older women tend to have more fractures. You know, so you need a little fat pad somewhere to cushion yourself when you fall, I guess. But, yeah, they've done some studies on that. So, are you ready to do the breathing pad?
Sure. Can I ask one more question? I promise, don't bring candy. My question is, in your opinions, do you think women feel more pressure to say yes
to, again, you know, work additional hours, do this special project, you know, get involved in this, don't care about this. And again, this is, it's just self-perception, but do you think women struggle with that more than men do? Guilt, maybe it's guilt. I don't know what you call it. Pressure,
I don't know.
Guilt, not saying no.
Yeah. I know as nurses we do. And you have more female nurses, you know, we tend to want to care for everybody else but ourselves. And I think as mothers, we do. You know, we want to make sure that the family is healthy and happy, and we do it at the expense of our health sometimes. So, yeah, I would agree.
I would also agree. Obviously, I guess I'm a little biased, but in a good way, that women are so, you know, stereotypically, and, you know, and this is generalized, myself included, I am in a helping profession, and we are often seen as the nurturers and the caretakers of the world. And I think just seeing this series and our focus being on women's leadership and community organizing and how many women are more so behind the scenes working on these different activist issues, you know, still struggling for women's full equality. It's just so easy for us to take on multiple roles and multiple projects, but then also not having the self-efficacy to realize that what we're doing matters, what we're doing is important, and that we are doing good work. And for me personally, it is hard to say no, and I think that is something that has been kind of ingrained in me at a very young age, to be passive, submissive, to go with what my authority figures are telling me. And so for me, college has been a good self-exploration period so that I can start to take ownership of my own decisions and make sure that I'm not doing things for other people, and learning how to be assertive. That's not something that women are taught to do when we're, you know, at a young age. And again, this is typically. So I think so.
Same thing.
Okay. Anything else before we move on to Isophine's breathing exercise?
It's really not mine. It's a yoga. I'm just... this is something that I've done for a long time, and it's fun, and it is relaxing, and you can do it anywhere. You can do it at a stoplight. And so you've all had a chance to read through, and I'm sure some of you have done this already too, but I was at a conference once, and this Dr. Weil, who's a well-known health guru guy, he was talking about the different things that you can do, and then he started talking about breathing. I thought, I do this all the time. But he's found in his practice that he's been able to get patients off of medications, blood pressure meds, cholesterol meds. They've lost weight, and even antidepressants, and we know that too. So I think this is just wonderful, and it's easy, and it's free, and you can do it by yourself. So basically what you do is just find some time, and you can do it, like I said, anywhere in between stoplights. Just basically if you're going to cover your right nostril with your right thumb, and you're going to take your second and third finger and fold it in towards the face. And what you're going to do is you're going to breathe in slowly on the count of five, and just kind of close your eyes and just think about the breath that's going in. And then you're going to take that fourth finger and put it on that left nostril, and you're going to breathe out of the right nose. You get it? You're going to breathe out. And then you're going to breathe in again, not removing the left finger yet. You're going to breathe in the right nostril this time, and you're going to put your thumb on the right your right nostril and breathe out. You're going to go back and forth. It's alternating your breathing. And you just do it slowly. You're going to inhale on five, hold for a second, exhale on 10. Then you're going to inhale in that same nostril that you've exhaled in on five, and you're going to alternate and exhale on the other side. So you just do that, and you do it about three times. You know, initially you might become a little lightheaded too, but eventually you will work up to a set of three, and you can increase the breathing. You know, it's like you go in and
You hold and it feels good and you can just feel it traveling down throughout the lungs. If you breathe deep enough, because we don't use the full capacity of our lungs, I tell people that all the time, so you have to really breathe in and you can actually feel it going all the way down. And then you release and you just release slowly, mindfully, counting times two the number of breaths you took in. And then you breathe in that same nostril and you go back to the other side. And you just keep working it up. And it does work, believe me. It calms you. If you're having a stressful day, just go and just take a few couple of breaths, and it helps to calm the mind. So that's just a little something.
You won't want to stop that.
Yeah.
Is
there anything else that anyone wanted to add to the conversation, have a question, or maybe a relaxation technique that you particularly like, that you'd like to share with everyone else?
And everybody gets a piece of chocolate for breathing. So we should have enough.
Well, if there's nothing else, then thank you so much for coming and participating in the discussion. Feel free to grab some chocolate at the end there.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Thank you.